Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
I want to talk to you today. It's a great honor to stand here on a day like today. And I don't say that lightly at all. It is an honor to stand here on a day like today. And I want to talk to you about this amazing risen God of ours, this amazing risen Savior. And hopefully capture in a few minutes just something of what he has done for us. And even as I was praying this morning, I said, God, there's nothing that I could do or say that could do, you know, just do justice to what you've done or to present it in a way of everything you've done. It's like there's no vocabulary to capture all of that. All you know is that God's done something in here and you are a changed life because of the life of Christ. And I want to talk to you today about, I've just titled this, if you like titles, I've just called it The Final Say. He has the final say. He has the final say. It's yes and amen with him. And we've just walked through the most extraordinary week. It has been a week. We were here Good Friday. This room was packed out and it was just an absolute honor to stand in this room with others that worship his name and give praise to him. And it's been quite a week because, you know, as you journey through just the lead up and the build up into this Easter week as we know it, I mean, the intense prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Imagine what that was like to just be in that time when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and then he is arrested. And then last Sunday, we came to what we know as Palm Sunday and we learned about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The sounds, the sights, the atmosphere, the images of people shouting out, Hosanna. And for those that don't know what Hosanna means, it is the shout of, we need a Savior. We need the help of our God. It was the sound, it was the atmosphere in the streets that day of Hosanna and the waving and the throwing of palm leaves in the street. What an atmosphere that would have been. I mean, the atmosphere here today is just extraordinary, but imagine the atmosphere in the street that day as Jesus came through that street. Hosanna was the cry from the people saying, we have to have the help of our God. We have to have a Savior, and we're looking to the one who will rescue us. We're looking to the one who will save us, and the palm leaves represent victory. Do you know that true victory can only come through one? Can only come through one place, and that is your relationship in Jesus Christ, this Jesus, this Savior of ours, who is not dead. It's not just a historical story. Jesus is alive today. The atmosphere in the street that day was something else, a time of celebration, but a time of incredible hope, because the hope of a Savior had finally come. But within days, as we, you know, came into this room on Good Friday, everything had changed. Everything had changed only in a matter of a few days as the people were waving their palm leaves, throwing the palm leaves in the street, hearing Hosanna, salvation and victory has finally come to the people ringing through the streets. And now they were looking at a cross with the one that they had put their hope in that would be their Savior, the Savior that came not just for them in their time, their generation, but the Savior of every generation. Every man, every woman, every child from one generation all the way through until there's no more generations. Nailed to a cross on either side of him was a man this side and a man that side. What a week. I mean, what a week Easter week is. An arrest, the crucifixion, and now the body of Jesus has been placed into a tomb that had never been used before, a tomb with a stone rolled across the front, just in case there's anyone here today saying, what are they doing singing about a tomb and a stone and this Jesus placed in a tomb? That's where they put the body of Jesus when they took him off the cross. Luke 24, I'm going to read 8 verses to you today. And it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, I love this, suddenly. Church, get ready for some suddenlies. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. Then they remembered his words, because those five words can change your life today. Those five words changed the life of those two women that went to the tomb that day. This is a life-changing moment when you remember what God has said to you. It is a life-changing moment when you hear the word of the Lord today. It is a life-changing moment when you go past just hearing the word today and you receive the word that God gives you today. It is a life-changing moment. All through Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, and all through this last week, this Easter time that we've been through, there has been divine and prophetic content all the way through. God has a time. He has a timetable for each and every one of these events. And even though Jesus was arrested, nailed to a cross, it did not take him by surprise. Neither did it take God by surprise. This was according to the timetable of God. And if you're wondering, I hope by the end of this service, we can explain to you what this was all about. And now these women find themselves at this tomb where they placed his body once his body was taken off the cross, and they are told to remember. Out of all the things that they could have heard in that moment, I could think of several other things that I might have wanted to have heard in that moment, and yet what they're told in that moment is, remember what I have told you. This holds significance for you and I today, because the reason that we are in this room today is we remember not just him going to the cross, but we remember that he was not in the tomb. He has risen from that place. We remember. These women who knew Jesus, they'd been with him. These women were not strangers. And we know from 1 John 1 that Jesus himself, according to Paul and others that walked with him, walked the streets with him, listened to him bring the word to his people back then, that he was and he still is the living word. And Paul said, because he is the living word, we've seen this. We've actually heard this, but we've not just heard, we've actually seen the living word in action. And now we spend the rest of our lives proclaiming all that God has done for his people. And church, I want to tell you today, the greatest life that you can live is proclaiming what God has done in your life. You are not here by coincidence. You are not here by accident. You are not here just because somebody invited you today. You are not here even just because it's Easter Sunday and that's the right thing to do. You are here because God's got something for your life. So these women were told to remember. And when they remembered the word that God had given to them, it pulled them up out of their grief. They were told to remember. What they were told to remember would be greater than their confusion. What they were told to remember would be greater than their doubts, greater than their fears. What they were told to remember would be greater than the opinions of others around them. What they were told to remember would last, it would remain, and it is eternal, because His word is an eternal word. It's not just a word for Sunday church. It's not just a word for the occasion, the special religious holidays of the year. His word is eternal, and He is the living word, and He lives with you and in you today. I remember sitting outside door number 15. It was a blue door. Funny how you remember those little details. Not that it means anything at all, really, other than it was a blue door that I was sitting outside. It was door number 15 at a hospital some years ago when one of our grandchildren were in there being tested for something. And, you know, it was not an easy day. And God spoke to us. And He said these words to us. He said, "Do not listen to every word that people say." In other words, where God was taking us was, even though people are saying that, you know, this might be being said about that situation, lift up your eyes and see what I'm saying over this story. And I want to testify, it worked out well, it turned out great, but God had us in a moment of lifting up our eyes. God, what are you saying here? And these women were told to hold fast to the word that they had been given. God has the final say. You may be looking at stories today and thinking, how is this going to work out? How will this pan out? How will this ever change? And it's time that we, the church, got a hold of the words of God, not just remembered them, but began to walk them out and begin to pray them out and begin to just believe them and say, God, you have the final say, because His word supersedes anything you might be going through today. They were told to remember. I was asked the other day, Pastor Dan asked me to go to speak to the room full of young leaders. And I got to tell you, you know, it was an intimidating room. I don't know how they felt with me there, but I'm looking at these young faces thinking, how on earth will I relate to this age bracket, 16, 17, and they're the leaders of tomorrow, they're the generation coming through. But I am so proud of our church. I really am, because we are a generational church. It's not about just the young. It's not about just the old. It's not about anyone wherever you might be. But it is about the generations linking and joining together and saying, we want to walk with God together, side by side. You know, just generations moving together with God. But one of the young leaders, he asked me a question. He said, how do you keep going when the struggles and the pressures and the hard things in life come? And I don't know what the room was expecting the answer to look like, but I just said, no matter what the season, don't shift from your foundations, because your life is built upon the rock. Your life is built upon the truth of God's words, and no matter what the struggle, what the hardship, no matter what the confusion or the opinions of others, when you have been introduced to the word of life, there is no word that is greater than the word that He's given to you. Don't shift from your foundations. Your life's built upon the rock. Many times I've been told to remember. Many times God has reminded me, remember what I brought you through and what I taught you in the journey. Many times God has said to me, my word is a lamp to your feet and it's a light to your path. In other words, don't focus upon the problem. Start to look at the promises of God and let that be a lamp to your feet. In this book here, if you don't have a Bible and you want to give your life to Jesus today, we can send you home with a Bible today, and I'll tell you how important that is. It's important because your restoration is written in the pages of this book. The wisdom that you need for life, for relationship, for business is written in the pages of this book. Your recovery and what you need to do is written in the pages of this book. His word is life to you, and it's clarity to you. And He says, remember what I told you and hold fast to that confession. Well, it's Resurrection Sunday, just in case, in the last 5 minutes, We haven't thought to give God praise for that. But it is Resurrection Sunday. And we remember, of course, what happened on Friday where the price was paid on the cross. But there's no grave. There's no grave that could hold Jesus down. There wasn't anything that could hold him back. It's the greatest story that has come to humanity. It is the greatest story known to mankind, because resurrection is about our redemption. Resurrection is about our restoration, that you and I can be reconciled back to God. If you know that you were created in the image of God and that you just didn't happen because mum and dad got together one day and look at this is what we've got. Listen, your life has got destiny all over it. Your life, God has written in the pages of his own book. There is a future, there is a hope for you, there is a purpose attached to your life. There is destiny. You were created in the image of Almighty God. And if you belong to him, then God brings us back to him. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. Resurrection is about whatever's been lost or broken. It's about the God story coming to your story. Listen, you know our tale, or maybe all of you don't. But there was a time when Byron and I were not walking with God, living life our own way, you know, kind of just creating our own storyline. But we are so grateful the day that we turned our lives over to God. He rescued, he healed, he restored, he delivered Byron from an addiction. He set our life upon a path of purpose and meaning and reason. That's the story of the cross, but it's also the story of resurrection. Resurrection tells us that there is a reunion coming. For those of you that may have lost someone along the way, that they're no longer with you, God creates a homecoming, as the team sang this morning, a space for you to come to and find the peace of God. From people that we've farewelled in this life, for Byron and I personally, within the next little while, we'll be in California again, farewelling someone, the third person since December last year that is no longer on this earth. But I tell you what, if it wasn't for the risen Christ, if it wasn't for a resurrection, we would be without hope right now. But a reunion is coming and we will see them again. There's a separation for a while, but not forever. That's what the risen Lord has done. Resurrection tells us that our future can be greater than our past. And I'm personally grateful about that. My past wasn't great. But I tell you, my future is a million times over, far better than what I've left behind. It tells us that there is life beyond the tomb where they placed Jesus. It tells us that God gives us a hope that does not fade with time. Resurrection tells us that there is a love that is even beyond and greater than what your biological mother or father could give you, no matter how good they were or no matter how bad they were, that the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, can give you something that maybe you've missed out on. But in spite of all of that, God's love took Jesus all the way to the cross. You may not have had a great beginning in life, but I tell you what, it's worth finding out today what God can do for your life today, and let the journey begin, as Byron says. Resurrection tells us that even if you have given up on you, God did not give up on you. That's what resurrection tells us. Resurrection tells us that we need to remove the word impossible from our vocabulary. What you and I call impossible, he does not. We look at our nations, watch the news any given day, and I tell you, it's bad, bad, bad. We look at our earth today and there's nations that are in fear, in turmoil, in chaos, and it looks hopeless and it looks impossible, and you think, how could a nation like that ever have a future? And then we're reminded of the word and words that God says in his word, can a nation be saved in a day? It can. What we call impossible, he calls possible. You may be in here today thinking, how can that one that I'm praying for today, so far away from the purposes of God, I want you to take heart today. This is what resurrection is all about. This is what the risen Savior has done. He restores. We need to take impossible out of our vocabulary, because resurrection speaks to us that it's not too late, that it's not too difficult, that it's not too impossible for God's salvation call to come to every person, every house, and every nation. It is entirely possible. Listen, there is revival coming to this land of ours, right across our nation. There is a revival, a move of God's Spirit and His presence right across our nation. We might sit here today and think, how could that happen? I don't know. All I know is it's God's business, and I know what we call impossible, He starts to do. Let's be part of what He's doing across our land. Our part is to wait, to pray, to get to know Him through His Word, and to praise Him, to give Him worship for what He's already done. It wouldn't have mattered how deep, how secure, how wide, how large that tomb or that stone was that day when they put Jesus in. None of His critics, none of His doubters or haters, no legion of demons or any opposition He faced, no tomb, no stone, nothing at all could stop, block, delay, or prevent what Jesus came to do. For us, Resurrection Sunday is here today. But I want you to know it doesn't end tomorrow. Neither does it end by Wednesday, or next Friday, or even next Sunday, because resurrection is about the life of Christ at work within His people. Every time you see someone's life turn to God, you know that resurrection, the life of a risen God, is at work. Every time someone comes to this altar, and haven't we been blessed to see over the last 12 months or more, how many people have just so wanted to say, God, I want You in my life. That has been hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds. I don't even know how many hundreds, and only God knows, and only He needs to know. But all I know is that every time we see that, God is at work, this risen God is at work in somebody's life, and somebody's saying, I want to see what God's got for my life. It hasn't worked out too great up to this point on my own. A dead God doesn't heal. A dead God doesn't revive, restore, renew, save, or deliver. And a dead God doesn't give hope. But we're not talking about a God who is dead today, because He is alive. In Luke 24, verses 5 and 6, the women here, they're talking about, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Because He's not here, He is risen. And church, I want us to carry that in our lives, and in just carry it beyond even today. Don't look for life in all the wrong places. Don't look for future in all the wrong places. Don't look for peace in all the wrong places. I tell you, it's fleeting. But the peace and the hope and the joy and the life of God is eternal and it's lasting. Just knowing these few things this morning ought to lift our prayer and our expectation to a new level of faith. Knowing this today ought to remove doubt and impossible from our vocabulary. You know, there was this little saying some decades ago, and it's kind of famous, but it's true. It was simply this: if God said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. End of story. He has the final say. That settles it. Every time you find peace or His presence, faith or hope, then you know that the life of a resurrected God is at work in your life. Let me read this scripture, and then we'll sort of make our way towards the end of this service. I was reading this scripture the other day, and you might, as I start to read this, you might think, what has that got to do with Easter Sunday? But somehow I saw something in it, 1 Samuel 30, verses 17 and 19. I won't read the whole thing for time's sake. But it's talking here about David. And we see here in David's life at this particular time that The camp that David was in and his family had been absolutely torn apart by an enemy. And everything had been taken. Everything had been taken. Everything was stolen, including wives and children, livestock, possessions. You see, there is an enemy. There is an enemy, and that enemy is absolutely ruthless. An enemy comes and he does what's in his nature to do, and he comes to destroy. That's what he does. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came to give you life. In verse 18 of this little chapter that I've just read, here's the good part. It says that David recovers everything. Like everything. Everything is everything. David recovers everything. In verse 19, it says that nothing was missing at all. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that had been taken. And again in verse 19, it says David brought everything back. And I want you to hold that for a minute. Just pause in that understanding there for a moment. And I believe that at least in part, it's a little foreshadow of what Jesus has done for your life. Because there's not one of us here that hasn't lost something. There's not one of us here that there is an enemy even today that he comes to steal, he comes to rob, he comes to absolutely ruin your life so that you are so far away from the very purpose of your life. But it says here that what belonged to David needed to be brought back home. It needed to be brought back home. David recovers and he rescues and he brings everything back that God said that needs to be home. It was a victory. It was a successful mission. And everything that was lost was found. You know, the beautiful story around about that is that once I was the one that was lost. I was the one that was away. I was the one that had got so far away from the meaning and the purpose that God had for my life. Later on, David's men tried to claim the victory. They said, "This is awesome. We can enjoy the benefits. We can enjoy the spoils of this victory." And David corrects them and he says, "Listen, you can enjoy the spoils and the benefits of what God has done here. But David said, this victory doesn't belong to you. You didn't earn it. You might have gone to battle some, but you didn't earn that victory. That victory belongs to God." Listen, you came here today, and the salvation that you may want in your life, the victory that you might want in your life, you didn't earn that. It was a gift from God, but he's offered it to you. He's offering it to you. And this day reminds us that salvation was God's gift to humanity, but the victory belongs to the Lord. This Sunday reminds us that God made a way for us to come back. That's what this Sunday's all about. But you know what? This will be just as real tomorrow and the day after and a month from now and 6 months from now and 12 months from now. It'll be just as real then. Because resurrection is at the very heart and soul and core of what we believe is true. This is true and it is real. It's right that we celebrate today. It really is. It is right that we celebrate today. But it's right that we celebrate every day. Every single day. We haven't even begun and we don't have time this morning to talk about everything that Jesus has done. We haven't even begun to tap into what that means for you and I living on planet Earth about the authority of the believer and the power of God at work within us. That's the importance of us growing in our personal faith, our personal walk with God, that we understand beyond today what God is. And if you don't grow in personal faith, then you don't know what's been purchased for you. The authority of the believer. See, Friday looked like a tragedy. It really did. But aren't you grateful that Sunday came? And Sunday is a triumph. It is a triumph because the Bible tells us that Jesus triumphed. He triumphed over every principality, every power, every demon, every dominion, every work that opposed the plans of God, and every work, everything that has come to oppose the plans of God in your life. You got to know that Jesus has paid the way. He's paid the price. It is a triumph what's happening in your life today. It is a triumph what God has done so far, and it'll be a triumph, and grace has brought us this far, but grace will keep you going. It's a triumph. Many times I've gone to God and I've said, God, will you do something about this? And he said, you do something about that, because I've given to you my authority. And when you read the book of Ephesians and you read the book of Colossians, you'll find out the authority that you actually have today, that some of the stuff that you go through, that you don't have to just weather that and put up with that. You've actually got authority because Jesus paid the price. He made a way for our redemption, our recovery. And there's lives today that need to come home to this risen Savior. There's lives today that need to come back to God. There's lives today that God wants to restore what's been missing and what's been broken, stolen and sabotaged. Sunday tells us that there is a Redeemer. There is a risen Christ. I'll close with this scripture. Ephesians 1:19 says that God raised Jesus from the dead. And he is today, as we speak, seated him at his own right hand, far above all rule, far above all authority, power and dominion, whether it be angelic or whether it be human, and far above every other name. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And church, he is your risen Savior. He has done that for you, and we ought to give him praise today in this room. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen to these words. This is what a resurrected Savior has done for us.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.